right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. The book of 1 John, chapter 1. We talked this morning a little bit about, with it being our anniversary service Sunday, 66 years and counting was our thought this morning. We tried to develop, and really our heart before God was to be an encouragement and thanking the Lord for a tremendous past. It was a past, if you study the history of Emmanuel, it's been a past of some glorious times, and then it's been a past also when it was difficult. There was a lot of difficulty throughout the years, and other pastors and stuff, and come through some adversity. But one thing about God is God, if you study our history as a church, God has always showed himself faithful. He has always showed himself strong. And for that, we are grateful for. Amen. We're thankful that the Lord indeed has done that. What I want to do tonight is, I want to be an encouragement to you. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read the first four verses. And we're going to talk about fellowship tonight. Really the joy of fellowship. If you were to think of me for a moment about fellowship, I came across this interesting little thought. And that is in the context, if you ever thought about why we shake hands. We often call it the right hand of fellowship. Well, they tell us that there's a reason it's called that. There's a reason that, you know, we shake with the right hand. And what was happening, the custom of handshaking originated a long time ago in primitive times. Men carried their weapons in their right hands. And when a man extended his empty right hand to take the hand of another person, it meant he was coming in peace. Over the centuries, the act of shaking hands, which prevents either man from holding his sword or weapon, evolved into a traditional greeting in the Western society. It shows that neither party wants to be enemies. Hear this. Neither party wants to be enemies, but rather they desire friendship and fellowship. When you come to the Word of God, John is going to talk to us about fellowship. He's going to talk to us about a very significant part in the life of a believer is to have fellowship with God, but also fellowship with one another. So 1 John chapter 1, if you found it in honor and reverence, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll look at the first four verses, but focus in on verses 3 and 4. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and notice this, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for the privilege we have of preaching your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of assembling back with your people. And Lord, we are so blessed and encouraged when we get around one another. And Lord, we know that's because of what you did for us 2,000 years ago and the fact that you saved us and you changed our life. And Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, even watching the internet, we pray, Lord, you'll show them their need to call upon you to be saved, to call upon you and repentance of sin and faith in the message of the gospel and trust in you, Lord, that you'll save them, you'll change their life. So, Lord, bless the remainder of our time, and Lord, may you speak encouragement into the hearts of your people, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. The primary purpose, we know that the primary purpose we gather to worship, as far as in a church setting, is indeed to worship the Lord. We assemble as a church to worship the Lord. We've said much about that over the last couple of weeks in the sense that it's a personal thing when it comes to worship. I can't worship for you. You can't worship for me as far as in that context. But we know as far as as a body that we can come together as a body in assembly and worship the Lord and praise his name and sing praises and worship the Lord with our tithes, our offerings, through songs. And there's much that takes place. There's much that transpires during a service. But one of the great things that happens and should happen in every service is that is the context of fellowship. Fellowship is a big deal. Fellowship is a very important teaching in Scripture. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at even another verse here in just a moment as we talk about the fellowship that we have in Christ, the joy of fellowship. Notice, first of all, the source of fellowship. The source of fellowship. John very eloquently just pours into us some vital truth when it comes to Christ. He said, hey, this life, I'm going to tell you about a life that is real. The Christian life is a life that is real. It is a life that you can experience. You can have your sins forgiven. You can get born again. You can have eternal life. And John talks about that. But look what he says, and we're going to hit these just for a few moments and dig into the fellowship part of it. But we see the source of our fellowship. There's only one reason why anybody can have true fellowship, and that is because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and Jesus Christ is real. Jesus is not a dead Savior that, his bones are somewhere in Jerusalem. No, friend. He is alive, and because he is alive, and you say, well, preacher, you say that all the time. Well, I think it should always be forever before us that we understand that we serve the only true God, and his name is Jesus. Amen? We serve him. We worship him. We assemble because he's alive. We assemble because he is real. We assemble because he is a life-changing God, and he continues to transform us and mold us and make us into the image of his dear Son. And John says, I want to tell you about this. I want to tell you about this life that is real, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. John heard Jesus speak. He heard him speak life into dead situations. He heard him say things, as far as I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He heard him say, I will not leave you comfortless. He heard him speak over and over and over and over. And John says, hey, I heard him. But then notice what else he says, which we have seen with our eyes. He is real and experienced. John says, we've seen him. I saw him with my eyes. In this context, when John says, look at verse 1. He says, with our eyes, which we have looked upon. When it means to look upon, it means to scrutinize or to investigate. It means to look with intent. And John says, when we saw Jesus and we looked at him, yes, we it was as if we were investigating. We were scrutinizing to see, was he who he said he was? And John says, I can declare unto you that indeed, he's exactly who he said he was. Indeed, he is exactly who all the Old Testament prophets prophesied would come as Messiah. He's the Christ, the Messiah. He indeed is the Savior. And John says, we've seen him. We've looked upon him. And then he says, and our hands, look at that, our hands have handled. John describes for us that John said, I have seen him. I have heard him. I've touched him. I've felt him. And I'm telling you, he's real. We live in a culture that wants to deny that Jesus is Savior, and they want to tell you, and they want to push lies all across our land that salvation and Christianity is a myth, and Jesus was just some fictitious person, or maybe historical person, but that Jesus is no more than just a mere man. Oh no, no, no! John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says he's not just an ordinary man. He's the God man, 100% God, 100% man. He is Savior. We've seen him. We've heard him. We've touched him. We want you to know everything we noticed, everything we saw, everything we scrutinized, everything we investigated points indeed to the fact that Jesus Christ is real. He's the source of our fellowship. But notice the significance of fellowship. What's the significance of fellowship? Well, we see in verse 3, he tells us, he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. By the way, that's what a witness does. John's a witness. And a witness in this context, a witness cannot remain silent. If a witness remains silent, then he is not doing what he's supposed to do or she is supposed to do. And John says, we've heard him, we've seen him, we declare him unto you. We want you to know who he is. We want you to know not only who he is, but we want you to know why he did what he did. The significance of fellowship. The significance is there's blessing in fellowship. There's blessing. There's a couple of thoughts of looking at it this way. We see, first of all, there is a horizontal blessing. That which we've seen, we've heard, we declare unto you. But then notice what he says. Look at verse 3. This is good, man. Look at verse 3. Are you looking at verse 3? Say, I'm looking if you're looking. Got your Bible, Gator? All right, make sure we're looking. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Underline that. Fellowship with us. That ye may also have fellowship with us. One of the most beautiful words in the New Testament is that word, fellowship. If you were to look it up by definition, it just simply means to share in common. It comes from a Greek word, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce it. I had Michael write it out so I can understand it. It's pronounced koinoneia, koinoneia. The Greek word koine it was a common language of the people. And when you look at this verse, John wants us to know that this aspect of fellowship, what does it mean? It means to share in common. That's what it means. It means to share in common. Michael, I love what we just talked about. He said, preacher, it's interesting. When you look at that word, just the basic beginning and the root word of that, Koine Greek was the common language of the people. That was the Koine Greek was what the New Testament was written in. It was the common language of the people. And you say, preacher, well, what's the significance of this? Well, if fellowship means the Greek word fellowship, if it means to share in common, it also could indicate from the root word of it to speak the same thing. We as God's people, we share in common. I said to you, I give you an illustration this morning. Fellowship is just a bunch of fellows in one big ship. I mean, they share something in common, right? Well, in this context, John says, we declare, we heard Jesus, we've seen Jesus, we declare him unto you, but there's a reason we're declaring him unto you. We declare him unto you that ye also can have fellowship with us. We want you to have fellowship with us. God's people love the fellowship. Amen. It is a natural, innate, as a believer in Jesus, desire to want to have fellowship. It was often, and you study in the New Testament. Matter of fact, I met with a guy not too long ago, in the last couple of weeks, and he wanted to meet with me. I said, sure, we can meet. And so we met, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I just long for fellowship. I long to be around other brothers in Christ. And you know what? And this man, he's not a member of our church, and I'm praying for him, and he's praying that the Lord will work in his life and have his will in his life. But if you think about it just for a moment, what a blessing. Let me say it like this. God loves you so much that when he saves people, guess what the next thing he does? If you read the New Testament, what was one of the very next things Jesus does when he saves somebody? He puts them in a local church. He put them in local churches. Now you say, Brother Tracy, what's the big deal about that? The church doesn't save us. No, the church doesn't save your soul, but the church may save your life. It may save your marriage. It may save your relationship with your church. It may say, you say, preacher, I've never really looked at it. Well, why? Because of the power of fellowship. It's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing to get around one another. There are too many. Let me say this. There are too many. Sadly, there is no room for the Lone Ranger Christian. There's no room for the do-it-yourselfer. There's no room for I'm my own person, and I don't really need to be around people. Well, the only problem with that is, that's not, I promise you on the authority of Scripture and the principles therein, that is not the way God created us. He created us to be, here's a good word for you, relational. He created you to be relational. And when we, amen, my preaching, is anybody getting it? Amen? He created us to be relational, or if you will, in relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why God created. That's why the way he created us, there's a reason. So John says, here's what we want to do as a witness. Here's what I want to do. Very simple but profound. As a witness, I've heard him. I've seen him. I've handled him. I declare unto you. And there's a reason I declare the message of Jesus unto you.
that you can have fellowship with us. Because there is a commonality in Christ. If you have the same Savior that I have, I promise you, friend, if you have the same Savior that I have in Jesus, guess what? We are part of the family of God. We are going to spend eternity forever with each other. You say, oh, no. You mean I'm going to spend eternity with... Listen, we're going to spend eternity forever with one another in Christ. We share things in common. What do we share in common that allows us to enjoy fellowship with one another? Very simply, it's Jesus. That's what we share in common. It's Jesus. Why do we do what we do? Why do we assemble? Why do we come together on Sunday morning? Why do we come together on Sunday night? Why do we come together on Wednesday night? If we could sum it up in one statement, Jesus. That's why we do what we do. Why do we stand and sing congregational music? Why do we set and sing congregational music? Why do we take offerings? Why do we play instruments? Why do we sing in the choir? Why do we teach Sunday school? Why do we work ministries? You can sum it up with one statement. One word, one name. Jesus. That's why. He's worthy. It's an honor to serve him. It's an honor to sing for him. It's an honor to play instruments for him. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's an honor. To give back a portion of what he's blessed us with. We have fellowship. We have a lot in common. You say, oh, but preacher, we're not all identical. We're not all identical. No, you're absolutely right. But God has a way in the New Testament church. God had a way of bringing unity in a body through diversity. We're very diverse. Many of us are, you know, some were born in Michigan. My wife was born in Michigan. I was born in the South, Kentucky. Some of us are tall, and the others wish they were tall. I mean, we know that, right? We're different. But yet, even though we're different, Joe Hall's like, amen, preach on, preacher. Wednesday night, Brian Erschershoff, I like to pass out with what he did Wednesday. Was this this past Wednesday? The Wednesday before last. He's up here. Brad, where's Brad? Where's Brad? Oh, there he is. I was sitting in the pew I normally sat in, and Brian did just like this. He goes, Brad, I promise you what he did. He said, Brad, I see you back there. Lead us in a word of prayer. I'm like, he'll beat you up. We laugh. We joke. He said, I can't believe you said Brian dances. Hey, I'm just telling you what he told me a long time ago. And he told me that as a praise report. I wanted to share a praise report with you this morning. What we have in common, not to be redundant, not to be repetitive. Brian, was that your phone? Amanda, was that his phone? Unless that's Jesus, hang the phone up, turn your text off. What we have and who we have in common is Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a few minutes, right in the middle of the sermon. Anybody got a word of testimony? Has Jesus done something in your life recently? Has Jesus, you say, preacher, I'll be honest, I stand amazed at who and what Jesus does for me. Well, I think in essence, John, yes, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but John is given a testimony. He said, I've seen him. You said, preacher, I've never seen Jesus. You may have not seen him physically with your eyes like John has, but you've seen evidence that he's been there. You've seen evidence that he's worked. You've seen evidence that he's changed lives. He changed your life. He changed your spouse's life. He changed your children's life. He changed your marriages. He changed everywhere that Jesus goes, he changes. Anybody got a word of testimony tonight? Real quick, anybody? Don't make me call on you. You say, you don't do it right in the middle of the sermon. I know, we're going to do it right in the middle of the sermon. I've spoken. You guys want to speak? I'm having surgery tomorrow. What if this were the last, my wife's like, please don't say this. What if this was the last sermon I ever preached? We've got a lot to brag about when it comes to Jesus.
Anybody got a word of testimony? Paul, you got a word of testimony? Don't make me pull rank. Thank you, Brother Paul, for volunteering. Appreciate that. Amen. This is almost Paul saying, we've seen him, we've heard him, we declare him unto you. Anybody else have a testimony real quick? Brother Stephen? Amen. Joe Hall? Good word. We don't deserve any of it. Leslie? Thank you, babe. Anybody else have a word of testimony? I'm not going to keep you long. I promise I'm not going to do that. Anybody else? Micah? Word of testimony. Anyone else? Michael? Tracy Shear. Don't make eye contact with a preacher. Cameron? Amen. Amen. Ash? Angela, you made eye contact with the preacher. I'm just thankful to be alive. Brother Randy? Amen. Amen. That's good words. I feel like I'm a spoiled child. Jeffro. Yes, sir. He went. Yeah. Amen. Congratulations. Amen. Thank you, buddy. Danny Lambert, I see the top of your head is all I see. Stand up. Oh, I'm sorry. You are standing. Sorry, buddy. No. Word of testimony. What you can't see is Jeff's holding his hand right now because he's so nervous. Such a moment. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Danny. Amanda? Well, amen. 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 Christy, you have your hand up? Amen. That's a good praise. Miss Betty, you made eye contact with the pastor. Well, I might have caught, maybe. I don't know. Thank you, Miss Betty. Melissa Clark. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen to that. Anybody else? Adrian Chutalo.
Anybody else? Amy Hall? We love y'all. Anyone else? Real quick. Anybody else? Betty? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's good news. Brother Shirley, you weren't making eye contact, but I thought you raised your hand, but you were just doing something like that. Word of testimony. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Brother Shirley. Brett? Amen. Thank you, brother. One more, anybody at all? Yes, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother David. As you look back in this passage of Scripture in closing, John, I did that, and I want you to see an important lesson in this. John was very passionate about sharing what Jesus had done for him. And I ask you to share what Jesus has done for you. And there's a reason. There's a reason that is. It's because when we share in a setting like this, it doesn't even have to be in a setting like this. It can be one-on-one and talking to people at work or talking to your family, relatives that do not know Christ or they do know Jesus. One of the things in the context of knowing Christ, look what John says, and we'll finish in verse 3 and 4. Again, verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Look at verse 4. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." One of the greatest things in the life of a believer is to have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah had told them that the joy of the Lord was their strength. Often in life, one of the things that the devil loves to do, he loves to get our eyes off of focus of the Lord and off of the focus of God's work as far as the ministry of the Lord. And one thing that often happens when that happens is our joy begins to wane. When we speak, when we take opportunity to speak into the life of someone else about what God has done for us, it I don't know about you, it did to me tonight. I think I can say for you, it's joyful to hear that. It's a blessing to hear the answered prayers. It's a blessing to hear, hey, God watched over me. Hey, God saved my life. And God, 6 years ago, I don't know where I would be today, but look what the Lord's done. And to hear testimonies of, hey, the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness of a church. And, you know, and to hear testimonies of how the church came together for my family who doesn't even know Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, one thing that does, that gives you joy. But John didn't just say, I'm writing this so that your joy meter will be half full or a quarter full. He didn't say that. He said that your joy may be full. Why? Because we live in a world that beats up on us. Amen? We live in a world that is constantly pulling at us and constantly tearing at us and trying to pull our devotion away from Christ and away from a local church and the ministry of a local church. But the joy of knowing that, yes, we've seen Him work. Yes, we've heard Him speak. We hear Him speak through His Word. We've seen Him work. We've seen Him put back and take. And this is good. I hope you'll press in on this. We've seen firsthand tonight by testimonies, we've seen how God has picked up our broken pieces and put them back together. He's an amazing God. And John says, we're writing. We've seen Him. We've heard Him. We've touched Him. We've witnessed Jesus. We've witnessed Him. We witnessed who He was. We've witnessed Him. And I know, and again, not to be repetitive, but just to drive the point home, the joy of fellowship, we have fellowship with one another. That's the horizontal part of it. But there's a vertical part of the fellowship. We have fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. And He tells us that, verse 3, the latter part, our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I hope it's encouraged you tonight. The invitation tonight is always, if you're here and you do not know Jesus as Savior, we encourage you right where you're at to call upon God, believing the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, the cross is a very critical part of history, and it needs to be a very crucial part of history of your life. It's a historical fact, but it's a powerful spiritual truth that Jesus, what He did on the cross of Calvary in dying, He suffered, bled, and died. They buried His body, but 3 days later, Jesus arose. Here's the personalness of the cross of Calvary. He did that for you. He did that for me. And it was my sins, it was your sins that put Jesus on the cross. It was your sins that He died for. So the question is, have you appropriated that? Have you repented? Have you called upon God and to save you and believe the gospel in Christ, trusting in Jesus as your only hope of salvation? If you've never done that, we encourage you to do that. Trust Him tonight. Maybe you're nice, say, "Brother Tracy, I'll be honest. I know I'm saved. I know that. But just feel that I think I could be doing more for the Lord. I think I could be doing more in ministry and service to the church and service to the Lord. Hey, we welcome that. We welcome that with open arms. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of opportunities for ministry around here. And we've created even more and just kind of thrown out, this is the needs. We usher ministries and choir ministries and teaching and working children's ministries and orchestra. And there's so many opportunities of service that we can do to edify the body, but also give glory with the talents and the gifts and the abilities that the Lord has blessed us with. Thank you for your testimonies. It's encouraging to me. It thrills my heart as your pastor to hear you brag about God and what God has done, and to hear you brag about what the Lord has done through the ministry of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. And keep that spirit, keep that heart, keep that fire. And may the Lord bless you for that. So let's stand. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. If the Lord's touched your heart and you need to respond, we give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray and thanking the Lord for what some things, or just talk to God about some things that are on your heart. Whatever it is, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity to do that. What's the number, Brother Stephen?